Hi, welcome to Marketing 25010 Principles of Marketing to the in-person students. Hi, y'all. To the web-based students, how you doing? Yes, I know you're not actually there right now. I know you'll be there later, but nonetheless, I don't want to ignore you. Hi. So welcome to the wild, wonderful, and sometimes wacky, if you follow it, world of marketing. That thing which gets all of you people paid over time, because without selling a product or a service, your company's doing nothing. So you may not want to be a marketer, but I'm going to say you should understand what those marketers are doing, because they're keeping you in business. So that's what we're going to spend 15 weeks talking about. My slides, which I've run in this classroom for 115 years, sort of work best when it's dark here and lighter there, but the middle panel of lights is not working properly. Yell at me if anything isn't clear, and I'll switch the lighting, but it gets dark, too dark there, and dark up here too, so let me know if that's not working for you when we get there. So this is lecture one. We're August 21st, 2023. There's going to be stuff here to take notes on, so if you're hoping to sleep through class, don't, because there will be some stuff. This set of slides are called the housekeeping slides. Each day, I'll begin with these. They go over the day's stuff. Some of it's non-testable information, jobs, internships, meetings, speakers, etc. The rest, which we will have now, shortly, coming up, is testable information on slides called either business or marketing in the news. How many people got the lecture notes? Anybody have the lecture notes already? Okay. I did not put blank pages in the lecture notes, which you'd have to pay for you to take notes on this. So you have to take notes separate, unless you want to pay for blank pages. Otherwise, just you don't have the notes, just write it down. I will post a copy of the housekeeping slides in the learning materials module on Canvas. I don't post copies of my lecture slides, but they're available in the online lectures that will be posted for the web-based students and you if you want after this class. You can always get the material. Currently, not that you especially care, I guess, we have 205 people in the in-person section. Say hi to one another. Hi. Introduce yourselves. Kidding. And we have another 346 web-based students. How you doing? You guys introduce yourselves to each other too. So we currently are dealing with 551 students. So that's a nice size class. We used to do about 1,000, but things have shifted. What is today? Well, today is the beginning of classes. So Monday the 21st. You can see and should know from your other scheduled material when we're not around. So off on Labor Day. I don't know that too many people are graduating, but if you are, there's some deadlines. Fall break, you want to know about that, Thursday through Sunday, October 5th to 8th. Thanksgiving break, and then fall classes ending and final exams. That was quick. So here we go. Coming up, testable stuff. It'll be on the first of the weekly tests. Also, it'll be posted on the Canvas website. So here we go. So what are my tips on the business marketing news slides? I try to bold the key points, because there's a lot of material on the slides. When I write the mini test questions, which I do, I try to focus on the key points, including the headline, which could be important when I write those questions. So take notes on the key points. If you miss them, the slides are posted in the learning material module. That's not how you spell module. On the class Canvas website. And if you want more information, I always try to provide the source of the item on the last slide, and sometimes that's available to you. So this was an interesting thing from Business in the News. How many of you guys are using an Apple Pay on your phone? Probably a much bigger percentage than the general population. But what a hassle to have to use that, right? You got to pull out your phone, and it doesn't do other things for you, like if you went to a bar, it doesn't identify how old you are. Let's come up with a new idea, a new service that would replace Apple. Let's just encode your palm. So like you got face recognition, you'll have palm recognition, you wave it at a machine, it pays, it knows how old you are, maybe it'll hold tickets, maybe it could hold medical information in the future. So here we go, Amazon wants you to pay with your palm. It's a sneak attack on Apple and Google. By the end of this year, you'll be able to scan your palm in Amazon's Whole Foods stores and join a service called Amazon One. Once enrolled, your hand is all you'll need to pay. There and at some Panera and Starbucks locations, plus a handful of other retailers for now. Amazon's biometric technology is an effort to compete with Google and especially Apple in the realm of digital wallets. So we're seeing my notes on this. Service innovation, this would be a new service out there. Technology and business, an interesting application of biometric technology. And of course, competition in the marketplace. We want their customers to come to us. It won't be easy. Despite multiple attempts, Amazon has mostly failed at becoming a payment service provider like PayPal, Apple, or Square. Apple spent almost 9 years building Apple Pay into a business with at least $2 billion in revenue, and a key way to compete people locked into their iPhone ecosystem. How many are iPhone users? Android users? We don't use any smartphone at all. Whoa. if you're successful, I'm saying about Apple being successful, if you're successful, competition will want to enter your market, even if it's hard. And of course, not all new business ideas succeed. So I did jump on the web and pull up, where can I do Amazon Pay, Amazon One Pay near us? And indeed, there are several Whole Foods places around Cleveland where you can sign up and pay with your palm. Doing all this using a system that identifies you with no device, no card, no password-like item present is absurdly ambitious. Were Amazon a startup, such an attempt would be laughable on its face. But this is Amazon, a company with the kind of resources and patience that allowed it to go from being a giant in e-commerce to also being the world's leading provider of cloud computing. So they're used to dealing outside their comfort zone. Amazon One's expansion so far in 2023 is extended to retailers in 9 major U.S. airports, 13 sports arenas. It's also in testing in 2 St. Louis area Panera restaurants and at 5 Starbucks locations in Washington State, California. So we are test marketing, a marketing concept, a new service to see how it works. Once a person is enrolled in Amazon One, adding payment information or verifying their age, like at a concession stand, means that such data can be used across the system, no matter what company is rolling it out. So this might be a future growth area. Sounds fascinating. I'd like to pay with my palm. One half of a person. Stupidest idea I've ever heard. I'm good. 50% of the class. How about you guys? What do you think? Waving? So we will have to see if this is a business idea that succeeds or fails. Come back in a year or two. I'll let you know. Shopping habits of American consumers. This is a bit of industry research. We'll often refer to industry research to understand what's going on in the business world, in the marketplace with consumers, with retailers, etc. So Commerce Signals, they are a research firm. A leader in U.S. payment card purchase data and analysis recently released its in-store versus online, where is the American consumer shopping? An important thing if you're a marketer, fashion students, where are you selling your product? Is it in the store? Is it online? Is it both? How's that working? Entrepreneurs, okay. Where's your future? Of course, you're going to say online, but what about the bricks and mortar store? So looking at the U.S. retail purchase consumer before, during, and after the pandemic is what this report did. So my comment is importance of industry research and data analysis and the impact of the pandemic, which we can't get away from. It continues out there for business, and it's still out there, too. People are still getting COVID-19, et cetera. Overall, the study has found a permanent change in consumer behavior. From a macro perspective, the total consumer card spending at retailers has grown more than 52%. That's a lot of growth on a big number in the last 4 years, while online shopping within the last 4 years has been more than doubled, up 103%. So we're trying to understand consumers' behavior in the retail industry and how they're spending money. Consumer electronics retailers, pet supply retailers, mass merchants were the top categories that saw an increase in online sales between 2018 and 2023. Mass merchant retailers, Target and Walmart especially, and we'll be talking about Walmart especially as they entered this online area earlier, had major growth within their e-commerce and buy online, pick up, and in-store purchase. Biopists, how many of you guys have done that? You buy it online, and you go to the store to pick it up. It's very convenient. Yeah, that wasn't a big thing a while ago. Now it's a big thing and convenient as heck. I don't want to wander around Home Depot into the aisles and figure, well, let them do that work for me. So this is the companies adapting to changes in consumers' behavior to give them value. One category that saw a massive pendulum swing was fashion retailers. Online purchases peaked at 95% in 2020 and subsequently fell over the course of the 3 years down to 47% of the purchases being online. The report suggests that this change has disproved the prediction of in-store shopping. Have you guys heard that in general? People are not going to go to stores anymore. There's going to be no retail. It's all going to go online. It's going to shut down. How many of you guys still like going to retail shopping occasionally? Yeah, I mean, we like it sometimes, maybe not all the time. Commerce Circus notes that the post-pandemic era, people still have the urge to physically try on clothes, touch fabric, look at the items they're purchasing, and connect socially with others throughout the process. My wife just dragged me up over the weekend to Chagrin Falls. Maybe you know Chagrin Falls. All these lovely shops and boutiques, and she likes to go in and touch the stuff. She actually bought some stuff, but she likes that interaction with the salespeople, with the product, I guess with me, go figure. So trends swing, pendulums swing back and forth. They don't affect all marketers in the same way. You have to pay attention to what's going on and know what's important in these trends for your business. Commerce Signals advise retailers and brands to be more open with unexpected opportunities, citing business model innovations by mass merchants such as Amazon and consumer electronics companies such as Apple, by providing convenience, speed of delivery, cost, meaning good price, ease of browsing, and a wide selection of focus on enhancing the customer experience will be a major driver for consumers to continue to purchase online. So here we are, marketers, businesses adapting to change, and the importance of the consumer experience in this environment. Yeah? So those are my business and marketing news slides for today. All that old stuff was testable. You'll see some of it come back at you. So now we move on to the content, if you will, of the day. Lecture notes, page 9, if you have it. And I talked a lot, so we'll see if we get into chapter 1 of the textbook. So we're going to work at that. Unfortunately, this part is not the most exciting part of the course. It's just a necessary part of the course, and that is going over the syllabus stuff. I know we may actually get to some content too, but the course is, the university has policies, the course has requirements, so here we go. So a brief overview of the syllabus. It's available from the class website on campus. How many of you have been on the campus website for Principles of Marketing? Turn it around, how many have not been there yet? Okay. So in general, my advice is when you see the syllabus, you might want to print it, well, at least read it, know what it, where it is and what it says. You might want to print it out. Pages 4 to 6 of the lecture notes, if you have them, show the schedule of classes and tests with some errors I'm going to talk about in a minute, which are also on Canvas in the About the Course testing module. Looks like that on the webpage, on the site. And we begin on page 7 of the lecture notes, I think. So initial background information. I am Dr. Marks. You can call me Dr. Marks, Mr. Marks, Sir, Lawrence, Hey, You. And you can call me anything you want to out of class when I can't hear you. It's up to you. I am, though, lmarks@kent.edu from your KSU email. Try not to write me from fabulousperson@hotbodymail.com because I don't know it's you, right? You could be spamming me, so write me from your KSU email or from Canvas. It's the same thing. My office is 536 BSA. I think I show 516 BSA. I changed roles. You'll find me at either place. My office phone, 330-672-1266. And my office hours are 5:15 to 6 p.m. after class and by appointment. I'm always ready, willing, and able to put together a chat call with you. The point of this is you can reach me. Don't say I couldn't reach you to tell you about my absence. You could have. You could have phoned me, you could have emailed me, you could have stopped by. I'm always available by some method. Mental telepathy doesn't work so well. You're thinking it at me, I don't get that. But these things work. I'm always around. For the visual learners, there I am in room 536 in the College of Business on the 5th floor. And if you aren't sure, here we are over in Bowman Hall. So there we go, and we're right across George Janik Drive from one another. If you prefer Google Maps, there's that. It's all the same thing. If you want to chat, I'll be happy to set up a Teams, Google, or a Zoom meeting because those hours don't work for you. 16th edition of the textbook. It's new to us. You know that they do rotate through the editions. The previous one was, well, 15th, and now we're 16th. It's available as an e-textbook through Flashbooks. It's packaged there with Connect at no additional charge. You will also want, I'll tell you this multiple times, the physical loose leaf book, because the midterms and the final exam are open book, open notes, and I can't have you going off to the internet to look stuff up during the test, because who knows what you're doing? It's just not fair. You can choose not to get the book. It's your grade. I don't care. But I'm recommending that you get the book as well. It becomes a little expensive, but it's not as expensive as just going out and buying the package. So the Loof Lease edition is available from the Ken Keff's bookstore after the Flash Books deadline, which is 8/27. They need a day or so to get it out there. And if you don't like that route, you can always go to McGraw-Hill and buy it separately, however you want to do it. Your choice. If you purchase a version of the textbook that doesn't come packaged with Connect, which is where we do our extra credit, you can choose to purchase access to that site at a later date. You'd be silly to do that because it's $148 from McGraw-Hill, so it's always going to be a better value to stay with Flashbooks if you decide that's what you want to do. I don't know how you'll do if you get an earlier edition of the book. Maybe you'll do fine. Maybe you'll do fine with no book. So if you can't afford the Flashbooks and can't afford the loose leaf book, get some book. Go get the 12th edition. I'm not really recommending that, but go get something. Less expensively. Now, the weekly mini tests and the final exam, midterms and final exam are based on the 16th edition, so you may not be perfect. But please get a book for your own benefit. I don't make anything on that. It's for you. If you want to find the book online, see the Start Here module on the class website. Click on About Flash Books for Marketing 25010, what you get with it, and how to opt out of it, and get the book elsewhere. So that's what that looks like on my Canvas website. If you want to, you can search for Marketing by Roger Caron, 14th or 15th edition. It's not the recommended thing, but it's better than having no book at all. Connect. How many of you guys have been on Connect? You've used McGraw-Hill Connect? How many of you guys have never been out there, never used it? Okay. So Connect is a web-based assignment and assessment site. In some courses, you must have that in order to take the tests or do the work. That's not the case here. You can just take the tests on Connect. We use it predominantly for the optional, what I call enhanced learning extra credit assignments, the ELECs. It's included with Flashbooks. It also will give you access right away to the e-textbook if you like that approach. If you choose to opt out of Flashbooks because you want to save the $87 that goes on your university bill, you can use PackBack to earn optional extra credit. PackBack is a web-based question and answer site. It costs about $30 for the semester. It's not included in Flashbooks. It's for those that say, I don't want to do that. You can earn extra credit for doing either Connect or PackBack. And if you want more details on how to do that, check the extra credit folder on the Canvas website. That's what it looks like on the website. Lecture notes. Can you tell I talk fast and cover a lot of material and don't always enunciate carefully? So how in the world are you going to keep up during the class, during the lecture? Well, one way to do that is to get a copy of the lecture notes. They follow my slides pretty darn closely with blanks where you can fill in stuff. Who has the lecture notes right in front of them right now? Are you able to follow what I'm doing in the book? You can follow right along. You just fill in some blanks. Same thing for actual content. Think about trying to write all this down freehand. It's not going to be so good. So it's a free download from the class website, although you have to print it because the open books, open notes, midterms, and final don't let you go to the website. You also can buy it at the Kent State University bookstore. Again, another $30. I don't control that either, and I don't make any money off of that either. It's available now. If you have not successfully completed Econ 22060, Principles of Micro, you should not have been able to get in here. You shouldn't be in the class. If you are in the class, I don't know how, and they catch you, I'm not out there looking, but they might, they will simply remove you from this class. You can't be here without that prereq, okay? Well, come back. Okay, so you need that prereq. What are we trying to do here during our 15 weeks together? I would like you, hopefully, to have, when we're done, a working knowledge of marketing terminology, concepts, activities, and strategies. You don't want to, how many people think they might be marketers, marketing majors? No more than I thought. You don't want to be a marketer. You're an accountant. You're an operations research guy. You're an IT person. Nonetheless, in business, as you progress, it's important to know what those guys over there are doing to sell your product, to provide value, to communicate with customers. Even if you never touch a customer, it's important to know what they're doing. So you need to know the terminology, concepts, activities, and strategies. And I will periodically show you a little icon to show you that's what we're talking about. An understanding of the marketing functions within the organization in the context of external environments. What's going on with competition? What's going on with social change? What's going on with regulation? Accountants are not focused on that. Marketers are. How do we know what the changes are, what those trends are? Marketing's going to help with that. Knowledge of the ways in which marketing contributes to the attainment of the organization's objectives and goals, mostly selling product, making a product, keeping consumers happy, giving them a good experience, and an appreciation of the global and ethical, don't laugh when I say ethical in business, that's not funny, and ethical aspects of marketing. So hopefully we'll get an appreciation of those things as well. So those are objectives. At the end of the course, if we both do our job, that'll be what you have. So you're not interested in marketing, as I just said. Why is that important? Well, let's take a look at the job skills for 2023 from Coursera, the fastest growing job skills for business, governments, higher education institutes. What are they saying? E-commerce, customer success tools, search engine optimization, consumer relationship management software, storytelling, along with a bunch of other stuff. Storytelling is the use of story structure for the purpose of internal and external communication and collaboration and marketing. Now, are we going to teach you all those skills here in this class? No, of course not. But what we are going to do is touch on the concepts related to these important skills. And so as you think about what's my future and what's it have to do with marketing, well, maybe not per se, but these skills are skills we're going to talk on conceptually. I already said if you don't have the prereq, you risk being deregistered. It's your responsibility, not mine, to ensure that you're properly enrolled in your classes. You can add classes until 11:59 p.m. on Sunday, August 27th, and you can drop classes until 11:59 p.m. on September 3rd. If you want to withdraw from a course, you didn't drop it, you want to withdraw it, that deadline is also Sunday, September 3rd. If you withdraw after that all the way through October 29, you get a W on your transcript. If you do it before September 3rd, nothing shows up. September 23rd until October 29, you get a W. Your transcript does not want to have a whole slew of W's on it. It doesn't look good, but it is what it is. After the 29th, you're going to get a grade. So you decided to stop coming. You decided not to withdraw. And you're still there at the end of the semester. You get an F. Sorry. So don't do that. If you have a disability, verify your disability with Student Accessibility Services. Contact me and send me the documentation, and I will do my best to accommodate you. Title IX says we shouldn't harass you, and you shouldn't harass each other. So we hope to create a safe learning environment in our class. We encourage students who've experienced some form of sexual misconduct to talk to someone about their experiences to get the support that you need. You would think that we're all adults here and this doesn't happen. As you guess, you may know for a fact, it happens way too much. One of my mantras in general is don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, and don't sexually harass other people. What are you doing? And if it happens to you, don't put up with that. Tell somebody. It's not your fault. Don't fall for that stuff. It's my goal that you be able to feel, that you can share information related to your life experiences in classroom discussions as appropriate, and your written work as appropriate, not too much here. One-on-one meetings, I'll seek to camp through information that you share private as much as I'm allowed to, but I have a responsibility to notify Title IX if I become aware of incidents of sexual misconduct, and you should be letting them know too. You can speak privately without disclosing your name to the Sexual Relationship Violence Support Services people. You can speak confidentially to psych services. And here's a bunch of other resources. Don't suffer with this sort of behavior. Get help. Talk to someone. Kent State University is committed to the creation and maintenance of equitable and inclusive learning space. It's especially true in marketing. Our customers are diverse. Our employees are diverse. Our students are diverse. Ignore the diversity at the risk of your own business success. So we have to talk about it in general. But the diversity that students bring to the course is a strength, it's a benefit, and it brings a variety of perspectives to our thinking about material. How many of you guys have heard about this brand new state bill, the Religious Accommodation Bill? Everybody should have heard by now because it's really a big thing. So the government has said you get to choose every semester up to 3 days off for your religious celebration. What religion do you have to celebrate? I don't know. You don't have to tell me. Why are you taking those 3 days off to do what? I don't know. You don't have to tell me. What you do have to do, though, is write to me and all faculty, this isn't just me, all faculty, 14 days before, after the end of the semester, so before 14 days into the semester, include the dates of your absences and the request for any alternative religious accommodation. The request must also provide the particular accommodation you desire. So I'm going to miss the speech that I'm supposed to do. I'd like you to allow me to do it before or after my accommodation, yeah? In this class, this is not going to be a big problem unless you make it into one, because all my assignments are open for more than 3 days. So no matter what three-day period you want to celebrate, whatever you're celebrating, either on the front end of that or the back end of that, my tests are open. My midterms are open. My finals are open. So you want it off, you can have it off. You're still responsible for the work, which is always online, so you don't miss that, and the tests, which are always going to be open. In this course, that's not a big deal, but by requirement, you send me the request, I'll confirm it, and state to you, you aren't going to miss anything because stuff is open. Any questions on this new policy? So use it as you will, or don't use it at all. If you are anybody about to graduate now or in the spring, yay you. Don't forget then that you have your responsibility to apply for graduation. And I think if you apply late, it becomes a problem, and I think they charge you money for applying late. Don't do that. Apply when you're supposed to, before September 15th for August graduation, before December 15th for December graduation, whatever it says on those, do that. Academic engagement. I have to verify that you are in attendance. I don't take attendance. So how do I know if you're involved in the course? It's based on you completing mini tests 1 and 2. If you don't complete mini tests 1, you web students, you got that? Paying attention? Okay. If you don't complete mini tests 1 and 2, then I report you as not attending. And then it's a whole rigmarole. They're going to send you a letter, and they're going to say that you get an NF grade, and what are you doing, etc. So if you're here and you're engaged with the course, take the mini tests and everything will be good. If not, the registrar will write you and you'll write me and I'll write you and we'll get it all straightened out. But I have to do that. So you don't want to miss those too many tests because that shows me that you are engaged. Academic honesty is really a big deal for me. Cheating means to misrepresent the source, nature, or other conditions of your academic work, tests, papers, projects, assignments, so to get undeserved credit. My phrase, you'll hear me say more than once, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. In the classroom, in your personal life, in business, for goodness sake. Why do I have to say these things? But I do. The questions for the mini tests and the midterms of the final are copyrighted. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Copying them down, posting them online to sell to other people, you can't do that, nor can you actually do it even as a quote. How many of you guys have seen the study flash things through some online service where people post test questions and answers? Nobody here has seen anything like that. Well, don't worry, it's out there. You can't do that. It might, and the publishers. You can't just put them online and share to other people. Using them during a test is also cheating, which I'll remind you of a lot. Also, submitting falsified documentation to be allowed to take an assignment late is cheating. If you're sick, you're sick. Let me know. Get a doctor's excuse, but don't fake it. That would be lying, cheating, and stealing. International students for whom English is a second language, send an email request to me. Okay, lmarks@kent. Request extended time. If you're an international student or a student who gets that accommodation through SAS, I'll give you extended time on the test. So you need to email me a request for extended time. Web students in particular, this is not an independent learning class. The lectures are created, as we're doing right now, from the in-person class on Mondays and Wednesdays. They're uploaded online in an audio and video format. You see what it looks like on the website, the online lectures. They're available directly from Canvas. You can see them in a variety of forms, including closed captioning, if I talk too fast. And I'll send them an email to you the end of the day. Can in-person students access that material? Sure. By the way, web students, if you like, you can come to class. It's all good. There's room here. So you can work what works best for you. Testing is done online through Canvas. You don't need to have Connect or FlashBooks to do the testing. There are 13 weekly mini tests. Those are not proctored, although they're independent work. The midterms and the final exams are proctored. How many of you guys have had the exciting experience of using Proctorio by now? Let's turn around. Who has never used Proctorio? Okay, so I'm going to post some stuff about Proctorio. It's an online proctoring service. You're going to take the test on your own time from your own computer. It's going to record you using a camera, record your screen, record you, so I can make sure that you're being honest. Why do I have to do that? Come on. You know why I have to do it. But you don't want to do that. You have issues with privacy. You have issues with something else. I don't know what else you have issues with. That's fine. Contact me, and we'll set up an in-person proctoring for you. You don't want it on the camera, on your computer? Great. We'll do it in person. Works either way. This comes from a court case. By taking the test online, you are giving permission to be recorded to help reduce cheating. So once you agree to that, we're off and running. You can't come back and sue me for recording you. You agreed to do it when you took the test online or in person. So here's the class website. It looks more or less like that. And I'll probably break it by trying to go to it on a click, but let's see what happens just for fun. Yes. 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 And so that's what it looks like. That's our new building, Crawford Hall, this coming fall. And from my view, but it looks a lot like that on your view, that's what the course looks like on Canvas. You want to check the home page. It provides information about me, the textbook, links to course material. Start here, learning materials, exams, extra credit. Talks about FlashBooks. So there's our FlashBooks click. How many of you guys have seen FlashBooks click? Okay, I don't know if you've clicked on it or not. And if you don't opt out of FlashBooks, then you want to get registered with McGraw-Hill through Canvas. Don't go off to your own private account. That won't work well because we have assignments, optional assignments through Canvas. So you click on McGraw-Hill, follow the instructions, and you'd be off and running. So what is this FlashBooks thing? How many, again, haven't ever used FlashBooks? I don't know how common it is, haven't used FlashBooks. So FlashBooks is intended to be a lower cost, it is lower cost, improvement for you to get your material, as long as you want to spend the money. So all students in the class are charged $87 into your registrar's, bursar's account for the FlashBooks program. You'll see a FlashBooks charge on your bursar bill. It can be included in your payment plans. It can be paid by financial aid. FlashBooks gives you immediate access to the digital, the ebook edition of the textbook, and to the material you use for the optional enhanced learning extra credit, which can add up to 3% to your final course grade. With FlashBooks, you don't have to purchase access codes. The digital material is available. Just click on McGraw-Hill link and register with your KSU ID. Anybody already did that? It's done and working? Nobody?
I did try, but it said I needed an access code for it. So I went to FlashBooks.
She's a no good. I don't know what's wrong. If that happens to you. You say that you think they fixed it or you hope they fixed it? Okay, so the argument is give it another try. If it doesn't work, you got to let me know, because otherwise I don't know it doesn't work. And I want you to have access to it. You're paying for it. You can opt out because you don't want to pay that money. And if you opt out, you can actually opt back in by 9/17. If you don't opt out, you can buy this loose leaf notebook, which I've already said is useful to you because you can't access any digital materials during the midterms and the final. It's all up to you, though. Cost of FlashBooks plus a discounted physical book is certainly less than it would be for the book and digital access normally if we weren't in the FlashBooks program. That would be $240, and that's what it is if you go off to the McGraw-Hill site. So FlashBooks is better for the class as a whole. How do I opt out? Select the FlashBooks link on the website and select want to opt out. You'll receive a confirmation that you are out. If you opt out, what can you do? Choose not to purchase any book. Your grade, your course, whatever you want to do. Rent or buy some other edition of the book. Better than nothing. Rent or buy the 16th edition of the book from an internet or buy it from another student. Purchase digital access to the current edition directly from McGraw-Hill. So, my opinion, you want, need, desire a physical copy of the book. Your choice as to how to get it. I don't care. I'm giving you options. Yeah? If you want to earn the optional extra credit, if you opt out of FlashBooks, you can purchase access to the digital edition of McGraw-Hill. It doesn't make any sense, but you could do that separate from FlashBooks, or you can get with PackBack, which I mentioned earlier. Details in the extra credit folder on Canvas. So here we are on the class website. We're now clicking on modules. There's a bunch of stuff there. The About the Course Testing Material module talks details about the 13 mini tests, gives you the exam schedule and a grade calculator. We have a lot of grades in here, and you can download a spreadsheet to help you see what's going on. And if you've never used Proctorio, it's going to give you tips for getting started with Proctorio and gives you troubleshooting tips as well. So that's helpful, I believe. Learning materials folder is where you can find your course learning materials. The lecture notes, which I said are available online right now, that cover the lectures, you can download them for free, although printing them isn't free. Just get mom to use her printer. Or you can buy them from the bookstore. Housekeeping slides are in the learning materials module after class. So they'll be up there, clickable, so you missed something I talked about in housekeeping. And that's also where you'll find the online lectures link to both the video and audio formats created live after the live class. There are two types of clicks out there for exams. Most of you will be standard time students. Some of you, either through SAS accommodation or because you're international, will use the extended time students click. So you only use one of the two types, right? You're coded as either a standard time student or an extended time student, and you can only access the appropriate exam. So these modules hold the mini-test, midterms, and final exam as appropriate. And there is a sample mini-test out there for you right now if you want to see sort of how does it look, what's it look like, how's it work. As soon as the weekly mini-tests close for a grade, they open for review. So you can use the review test to help study for the midterms and the final exam. Review tests are free. They don't count in your course grade. You can go back and take them as many times as you want and see an array of questions that could be on the midterms and the final. Replaces a study guide. See what you know, see what you don't know, study what you don't know, try it again. We already talked about the extra credit. You can do either McGraw-Hill Connect or PackBack. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. So on your grades, for this class, when you click on grades, choose under Arrange By, Assignment Group. If you don't do that, you're never, after the first few weeks, going to make sense of the grade book. It's just ridiculous. So choose that and click Apply, and that's sticky. It'll be on, stay on Assignment Group. Right now, if you go out there, can you see this in the back? You still can, huh? Okay. So what you're going to see is that you are coded either as a standard time code ungraded assignment with a 1 out of 1 and not the extended time, you'd have nothing out of 1, or the other way around. So you can see if you have the code you should have right now. Back to the home page. You see the book. You see some clicks down here, start here, learning materials, exams, extra credit. So if you want, check the intro there, check the intro there, check the intro there, if you want to get familiarize yourself with what's going on. Check the syllabus, which is online. That's what it looks like. It should have a, should pop up for you right away. It has all those details. You can download it if you want. You can read it online if you want, but you certainly ought to be familiar with the material. As the syllabus changes, I goof something up, a date is wrong, I forgot to say something, I'll update it online. There'll be an updated version there all the time. Back to the modules. So in the Start Here folder, here are is the class schedule. It's also in the syllabus. It's also in the lecture notes. But you'll always know where we are and what we're doing, or at least what the plan is. Always keep in touch with my announcements. Check your Canvas and your KSU email. How many of you guys have seen the early welcome message from me? Have seen it? Who's not seen the early welcome message? I have a reason for asking. So if you haven't seen it, you want to be sure that you've turned on emails, announcements from Canvas. Apparently, as a student, you can choose to see those or not see those, apparently. I don't know how, but find out. And you want to be able to see, because I'm going to send regular updates about stuff to you. There's the lecture notes in the learning materials folder. Click on those. You can download the lecture notes if you want, or just to see what they look like, or maybe just use some pages sometime. That's up to you as well. Keep in mind the housekeeping slides, which I'm going to upload after class, are available in the learning materials. And there's the link to these online videos once I get them up after class. Here's information on the 13 mini-tests, the weekly mini-tests, so you know more about those. There's a schedule for the mini-tests, the midterms, and the final. So they're out there all the time, too. The grade calculator, because after you get 13 grades going and the midterm, gets complicated. So you can download a grade calculator, input your grades manually, see where you stand right now, which I'll update you with regularly. Or what if I got C's on the rest of the tests? What would I look like? Or A's or B's. You can actually see how that'll play out for you using the grade calculator. Here's the example of the testing folder, exams for standard time students, down below that exam for extended time students. As I said, there's a sample test out there right now. You can go and see what that looks like. Review tests are down below. Test closes on a weekly basis for a grade, opens for review, make use of those. Keep in mind the extra credit, and there's the extra credit folder, although that's pointing to the review test. Let's pretend it's pointing down to the extra credit folder. Point is, stay in touch with the material. As you know, in any one of your courses, it's easy to get behind. And once you get behind, it's just hard to catch up. So stay up with the material. Kent State policies and midterm grades have to be submitted for all 10,000 and 20,000 level courses. This is a 20,000 level course for marketing 25010. Your midterm grade will be based on the first five mini tests, which are approximately 19% of the final course grade. As I recall, this deadline falls right in the middle of the first midterm exam. Because it's in the middle of that, I don't include the first midterm exam. I just include the first five mini tests for your midterm grade. Final course grade is based on 13 mini tests. Those count for 50% of your grade. Don't blow off the weekly test. They're 50% of your grade. Two midterms, each worth 17% of your grade. The final exam, worth 16% of your grade. And any of that extra credit that you earned from either McGraw-Hill or PACPAC. And there might be some research extra credit as well. Here's how things lay out. So if you earn a 92.6 or better, you get an A. If you get between 89.6 and 92.5, you get an A-. So we use the plus-minus grading system. If you're one of those folks that wants to be a marketing major, pay attention to this part. Earn a C. Don't earn a C-. A C-minus isn't a C. And what's more, it's your major. Get a C in the course. That's required, and just good logic. This is really important. Because of your history, because of what they let you do in high school and in other courses, you develop the attitude that I will give you a grade you don't deserve. Oh, please, 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 I need it for fill in the blank. Not here. You'll know that whatever grade you earned, you got. And you'll know that nobody else got a, oh, please, 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 grade. It doesn't exist. You get what you've earned. I don't make adjustments to you really, really, really needing a better grade. Your reason being that you're only 0.3 or 0.2 or 0.1 away from the next grade. And almost every single person who ever wanted that higher grade didn't do the extra credit or didn't do all the extra credit. Just do the work. Or any other reason other than an error. If you show me an error in my calculation, I got the grade wrong, boom, that'll fix. I'm not changing any other reason. Asking, pleading, crying, and or offering bribes. Unless one of your parents is a billionaire, see me on the side, doesn't work. It's just a waste of your time and my time. I'm not going to do it. Because I wouldn't do it for anybody else. I'm not going to do it for you. Everybody gets the grade they earn. Take it seriously. There's no extra credit work. You can't go back and do work. There's no additional chances. There's no grade changes. Earn what you want or need for the course. It's easy to incorrectly calculate the grade. So the correct calculation is total up all 13 mini tests. We don't drop anything. 13 weekly tests. Get that average and multiply it by 0.5. That's 50% of your grade. Take midterm 1 and midterm 2. Multiply each of those by 0.17, 17% of your grade. Add that to the previous sum. Take your final exam score, multiply it by 0.16. add in any extra credit. That's the calculation. So if you miss a mini test, you blow me off, it counts as a zero. We don't drop any grades. We count everything. So that's the way to do it. The grade calculator will help you see it correctly, and I keep you updated regularly. This is too much detail, but it shows you what the arithmetic looks like. There's a grade calculator, so you see mini test one, I already put in 100% because I'm sure you're going to do well there. You put in the rest of them, and down here report your grade as you go. You have to watch for deadlines for mini tests and extra credit assignments. If you're hooked into the email from the announcements, I'll remind you more often than you want to hear about what's going on. But once we get to finals, everything's closed, you're done. There are no changes to the final course grade. Did I mention that before? Did I say that already? No change? I did. Okay. No changes to the final course grade. So get what you want. So what about these mini tests? There are 13 10-question multiple choice exam questions. They have a time limit of 15 minutes, so you can't never have cracked open the book and now start doing the test. You have to look at the book, study the notes, study the book. And if you are an extended time student, you get 30 minutes. Those 10 questions are randomly drawn from a bigger pool of questions that cover the previous couple lectures content. The questions cover both the textbook and the lecture material, including business and marketing in the news. So that's what you're focused on. Here's my philosophy. I don't know if you guys have run into somebody that just lectures the textbook to you. Have you had that? Yeah, what are you doing? How are you earning a living here? You're reading the notes. What are you doing? So my idea is that in this little Venn diagram, the textbook has some material that isn't covered by me, duh. And I have lecture material that certainly isn't covered by the textbook. And of course there's some overlap, right? So how do I test? Some of the materials from the lecture overlapping the textbook, some of the materials from the textbook overlapping the lecture, and some is just overlap of both. 40% of every test you take will be from the lecture, business, and the news. So on a 10-question exam, how many questions are going to be from the lecture and the textbook? I know you need a worksheet, all right. Four of those questions. Sometimes it's hard to tell because where the material overlaps, it's hard to see which it is. The other 60% is from the book. That's one other reason you need the book. 60% of the test is from the book. Your choice. I don't care. Don't get the book. It's up to you. And so what's testable? It's all testable material. Whether I'm covered in the classroom or not, whether they cover it in the book or not, it's all testable. They're open book, so get the book. They're open notes, so take good notes. They're unproctored, so don't cheat. Usually they're available for at least 5 days after the material that has been presented. You'll see the schedule presently. You can take each one of these weekly mini tests up to 5 times. Each one's a random draw of a new set of questions, but still, 5 times. So don't stop after 2 attempts with a 40%. You're just not trying. I'll keep the highest score that you got on those 5 attempts. How much fairer could I be to a large classroom? I say there are no makeups for mini exams. They're open for 5 days. They're on a posted schedule. I'll remind you about them. If you're truly incapacitated, of course, I'll make an exception. But I forgot. It's not a very good excuse. I was out of town. My dog ate my computer. Come on, dude. Give me a break. Write the deadlines in your planner. Well, you can't write them now. You haven't seen them yet. God bless you. And don't forget about them. Don't wait until the last minute because something always comes up. You planned to do it, and then you didn't get to it. Don't forget to take the mini tests. And there's a sample mini test right now to see how they look. If you don't do well on the first few mini tests, you're not putting enough. This is not rocket surgery. This is concepts of marketing. If you aren't doing well on those few tests, you aren't putting in enough work. By what? Reading the book, studying the book, reading the notes, studying the notes. So it does require your attention. It does require your studying. Because it's a convenient class, it's a temptation to take shortcuts. Don't do that. It's intended to be convenient. It's not necessarily intended to be easy. It's not just a gut level A course. What do students say about this? He gives every opportunity to earn an A. You just need to put in the work. Do the work. Put in the time and effort. Study before all the quizzes and tests. You'll excel. Thank you. Video lectures were extremely easy to view. Many tests were not hard at all. Well, this guy was studying. Professor is very responsive through email. Print out the course notes. They'll help you so much. Well, that's what I've been telling you. And help you to write so much less while still learning information and making a study guide for midterms and finals. That is the point of the lecture notes. He calls them course notes. He offers multiple extra credit opportunities throughout the semester, which is a big grade booster. Hint, take those opportunities. He gave us 5 attempts to do our main assignments and 3 attempts to do the extra credit assignments. He only took the highest score. There were always extra credit opportunities throughout the whole semester. He also told us we could always ask him questions. So, do the work. Get the grade you want. As a rule of thumb, you know, college-level work says you need to spend 2 to 3 hours outside of class preparing for every hour of class. So, hypothetically, you're spending 6 hours each week preparing for Marketing 25010 in addition to being in the lectures or viewing the lectures. So if you aren't doing that, you're probably running into problems. C-level work, if you wanted, it would be 100% on the mini tests and 50% on the midterms of the final. Arithmetically, that works out to a C. Hopefully that's not your goal. So plan on spending time each week reading the book, taking quizzes, reviewing the notes. It's easy to get behind. Pay attention to your schedule. Don't forget about the tests. The midterms and the final exam, you'll take them online using Proctorio. So those are proctored. You'll be required to show a picture ID. KSU ID is good. Passport is good. How many of you did Dungeons and Dragons as a kid? 3 people. Well, pretend you know what I'm talking about. Your Dungeons and Dragons ID is not a good way to go. So just get a legitimate picture. It'll be fine. The midterms and final. As all the tests are individual efforts, you can't have help during these exams. Open book, open notes. If you need a calculator, it'll be in the Proctorio system. You can and should make use of a physical copy of the book and a physical copy of your notes during class. You are not allowed to use anything else digital during the test. Can't use any other digital devices. And please don't baloney me. Oh, no. Oh, no. What you saw wasn't my phone in the camera. It was my cat. No, I know. Phone versus a cat. You're using your phone to look. Don't do that. I didn't fall off the proctoring truck yesterday. So international students can use a standard hard copy translation dictionary for the exams. Can't use electronic translator because I don't know what you're really doing with that. Who knows what you're doing? So you can't make use of the ebook for the midterms of the final. You need a physical hard copy. If you've taken notes on your computer, you got to print them out. Can't have mini test questions and answers during the midterm and the final. It's prohibited anyway. The notes are things that you have created. So it's products of your own work. So somebody says, can I use my handwritten notes? Sure, that's fair. You created them, yeah. Midterms exams are worth 17% of the course grade using Proctorio. Those exams are 50 questions. Time to last 80 minutes. Standard time students under 60 minutes for extended time students randomly draw from the same pool of questions used for the mini test and for the review tests. Except for the midterms and the final, we don't use any marketing or business in the use questions. We just use content. Midterm 1 is going to cover lectures 1 to 10. That's mini tests 1 to 5. Available beginning 8 a.m. Sunday, October 1st through 6 p.m. Wednesday, October 4th using Proctorio. Apparently, I did not update the lecture note dates. I think it's right in the syllabus, but the dates in the lecture notes are left over from a prior semester. So take notes of the dates and the deadlines, please. Mini test 2 covers lectures 11 to 20. Mini test 6 to 10. You see the logic here. Available from 8 a.m. on Tuesday, 11-6 to 6 p.m. on 11-11. Dates on the pages in the lecture notes are wrong. Take notes of these dates. You'll be using Proctorio. You have to show a picture ID. Make sure that you're either standard extended time student, as you should be. You'll know by then. What else can I say about it? I've repeated myself here. Yep. Final exam. It's going to include all the material from lecture 21, mini test 11, till the end of the term, with chapter 21 of the textbook. No marketing in the news, no business in the questions. It'll be available during finals week between Monday 12:11 at 8 a.m. and Thursday 12:14, the last log on at 6 p.m. dates are wrong on the lecture notes. 50 questions in 80 minutes. Same story over and over again. How do students do in this mass class? I often have, if I'm having a philosophical discussion, we have 550 students in the course. It's a mass course. Some of them don't care a thing about marketing. Don't raise your hand. Some of them are here, but they don't care a thing about business. They're just made to be here. And a few don't care anything about school. I don't know what they're doing, right? So with that in mind, what would you expect the average grade to be? A 90? Not likely. Some people would say a 60. No, it's not that bad. So what would you expect it to be? Well, here's the grade distribution, semester after semester, overall grade for these 550 students. 81, 81, 79, 79, 81. It's a low B is the average. For a mass of 550 students with that criteria, that's not too bad. And how does it distribute? Practically, 25% of the class gets A's or A minuses. Another 33%+ get B's, B plus, B, B minus. 25%, C plus, C, C minus. 8% manage to get a D. And the F's are mostly people that just dropped out, didn't tell me, they aren't doing the work, but there you are, okay? That's not a bad distribution for a mass course. You can do well. So each semester, every 20% of students earn A's or A minuses, more than 30% are in the B range. So 50% of the class get a B minus or better. That's, again, not too bad. You could do it if you want. So to succeed, take the mini tests early, retake them until you have 100%. Just as I said, try not to stop with one or two attempts and 30 or 40%, I'll ask you, what are you doing? What are you thinking? What's your goal here? Then go back to the material by using the review tests so you can study those, new draw of questions each time. And if you do this, by the time the midterms and the final are given, the material and the questions will be familiar to you. You may actually say from the review tests, possibly, questions that are on the midterms and the final. You know the answer. That's not cheating, by the way. Somebody once said to me, what if somebody went through all the reviewed questions, there's 1,000 of them, and learned all that, and then used that on the test? Dog, if you can learn the answers to 1,000 questions in your head, you pretty much have covered the course material. I'm not concerned about that. Bringing notes with those on it is a problem. Study them and knowing the answers, I'm good. So it's important to stay up with the course. I've already made that point. To the extent possible, raise your hand when I ask or make a comment. Email me if you want. Well, I know I'm not going anywhere with this, but every piece of research shows if you have your cell phone open in front of you, you're not paying attention. No matter how much you think you can split your attention, you're not. Your grade, your course, I don't care. But try not to have your cell phones open. And if you do, don't be sitting down here with funny cat videos that's making that guy laugh. Which, by the way, happened to me one time. I'm right here. Cat video, what are you doing? Don't do that, okay? Don't disturb other people. Other than me occasionally harassing you, it's not tolerated. Don't harass one another, that's for sure. International students, I talk really fast, cover material fast, contact me for extra time. Sometimes the university is closed, especially in the wintertime with our great weather. If it closes and I can get to a computer to do an online lecture, I will get to a computer and do an online lecture, and you're responsible for it. Bastard. So I will email you if that happens. It's legit material. If you're writing to me, please write me from your Kent email address, which you talked about. Use marketing25010 at the start of the subject line. Like you, maybe I get 200 messages a day. If it doesn't say marketing 25010, it may not get read. So, for example, marketing 25010, question about midterm one. I had to get on that. That's important. Technically, phone messages are not official communication. I can talk with you, but I can't verify it's from you, so I'll ask you to send me something from your email anyhow. So we have FERPA requirements. I can't share information if I don't know it's you. Enhanced earning extra credit, we've talked about this. Follow the instructions in the extra credit folder. For each of these assignments, there are 10 of them, you get 3 attempts, somewhat random. We keep your best grade. So the 10 enhanced earning extra credits are worth up to 0.3% each. 0.3%, that's hardly worth bothering. Times 10 is 3% of your course grade. That's almost boosting your grade by an entire half grade. Yeah? So yeah, individually, they don't seem like a lot. But when you're 0.3, 0.2, 0.1 away at the end of the semester and didn't do the extra credit, don't blame me. So you can do it either from the Enhanced Learning Extra Credit through Connect. You can do it from PacBack. For PacBack, you post one interesting question related to the course material for 0.1%. You respond insightfully to two posted questions for 0.1% each. And they give you up to 0.3% each one times 10. Added to your final grade. If the researchers need some participants, I will also give you extra credit for playing with the researchers. Doing their surveys, you have to take it seriously. They put in check questions. They say, how many legs does a dog have? And you answer eight. You don't get credit for that research. You have to pay attention. But we'll give you credit for that. So we encourage that as well. Here we are today in week one of the schedule. Monday, lecture one, introduction and creating customer relationships and value, chapter one. We'll see if we get that far in the next minutes. And you can see Labor Day, you'll see midterm one, fall break, you'll see midterm two, etc. All that's in the syllabus and in on Canvas in the schedule. Also in the syllabus and online in the schedules, here's the preliminary mini test and exam schedules. You can see that on Canvas. There's no reason not to know when a test is happening. It's out there, and I'll remind you. And the enhanced learning and PacBack schedule as well. There's the 10 of those when they open and when they close. So all that's out there. A number of years ago, when I first set up the course, I went out and I interviewed a bunch of business folk, often grads of Kent State, and I gave them questions to answer about Kent State. I didn't prompt them for their answers. I said, hey, what's marketing to you, or whatever the question was. I recorded their answers, okay? Which gives you a break from hearing from me occasionally. It shows where you can go from marketing 25 out of 10 in Kent. Is that a funny cat video, sir? No. I mean, I saw him smiling at your video. It gives you the real, everything I talk about here is real world. Sometimes you wonder, is he BS or not? Everything I talk about is real world, and these people often verify or validate that point. So here they are, and if you have lecture notes, you'd have this information out there. So here's the people. I'm looking for their title, the organization, what they do. And it's in lecture notes page, if I got it right, page 21. Let's hear from our introductions, from our video guest lectures that we'll hear about during the semester.
My name is Valerie Twing. I graduated from Kent State University with a Bachelor of Business Administration degree. Currently, I am the director of the business office for a small consulting firm in Washington, D.C. that does government contracting and consulting.
My name is Tim Apel. I am currently the president of AAA Homes in Ravenna. My background is I went to Kent, and I earned my bachelor's in accounting and then went right back and got my MBA from Kent as well. I'm from Kent, so it was kind of natural that I stayed there.
My name is Don Kosak. I earned my master's degree in business administration from Kent State University. Currently, I am the vice president for business services for Time Warner Cable Business Services in Akron, Ohio.
Hello, my name is Rob Felber. I earned a Bachelor of Science in Education from Kent State University. Currently, I am president of Felber and Felber Marketing, and where, as you may see from time to time, I have various roles.
Hi, I'm Fred Hunt. I have 2 degrees, an international business degree from Texas Tech University, as well as an MBA from Oklahoma City University. Presently, I am Director of Marketing for the Sherwin-Williams Company here in Cleveland.
My name's Dan Muller, and I've earned an undergraduate degree from Kent State, Computer Science and Operations Research, double major, and then also got an MBA from Kent. And currently, I'm the president of distribution services for the Timken Company, which is headquartered in Canton, Ohio, Fortune 500 company.
Hi, my name is Michelle Skin. I am the director of the Fisher Titus Foundation. I received my Bachelor's of Business Administration from Kent State University with a major in marketing, and happy to be here.
My name is Gary Trinetti. And I earned a Bachelor of Business Administration, emphasis on marketing, from Kent State University. Currently, I am the CEO president of a company called Garrick, which, interesting enough, was started with my partner, who was also a Kent State graduate.
Hi, my name is Jim Wise, and I earned my degree at Kent State with a degree in marketing. And I am currently now a general manager, vice president of a local car dealership, Don Joseph Toyota, here in Kent. And I have been there for 22 years now. And it's been a very interesting and fulfilling job, that's for sure. Larry, I actually had you in as a marketing professor. I was a student in a large setting classroom back in the early 80s. I remember it well. It was actually one of my favorite classes. That's what actually got me into marketing to do what I'm doing today.
Hey, my name is Shane Ditka. Born and raised in New Jersey. Got a degree in business management with a concentration in accounting to be an accountant. I was an accountant for about 5 years doing actual accounting, debits and credits. I ended up finding that I was very interested in marketing just because I had kind of an entrepreneurial bug. Ended up starting a bow tie company and having to market it to sell bow ties, I created a blog to attract customers through Google search, right? And then I got really good at that, and then I actually pivoted away from bow ties to being an affiliate. Instead of selling my own products as an e-commerce store, I sold someone else's products as an affiliate in the pest control niche. So I would partner up with Amazon or other people who sell stuff and sell their stuff for a commission as in pest control. After that, I did that for about a year, 2 years, ended up selling that part of my business, and then I joined up most recently as a director of SEO with a company called 3Shifts, which specializes in affiliate marketing for big brands like Terminix, big like home warranty companies, Orkin, another one. So very big companies that are looking to grow through affiliate marketing.
My name is Patrick Gorgon. I am a sales associate at Protégé. I am an alumnus of University of Missouri, otherwise known as Mizzou, and I have a Bachelor's of Science in Business Administration with a minor in Entrepreneurship. I do sales for Protégé. I operate on the market research arm of our business, and I am, prospecting. I manage the full sales cycle, so prospecting, finding new potential clients, managing the outreach process, and then working with them to facilitate their research project.
Very good. So let me make a point about the class time, because I know attention spans are shorter. You're paying for an hour and 15 minutes. I will be very courteous with your time. I will start class on time unless there's a disaster. I'll end at 5 o'clock. I don't drag it out to 5:01, 2, 3, 4, 10. But I ask that you stay until 5 o'clock unless you have an obligation to get to. And if you have to use cat videos or fall asleep, that's fine. So I'll be done at 5. I'm not quite at 5 yet on my clock. So here's the list of who those people are. We'll be hearing from them periodically, talking about marketing and their concepts and how they use them during the semester. Here's their various titles. And here is the type of organization. So Valerie Twing is a business-to-business services for the government. Tim Appel, family entrepreneur, which is B2C, business-to-consumer, et cetera, down through those folks. If you missed this, as you probably are, because I don't see a lot of pens moving, it will certainly be online, on the online video if you want to go back to it. All right, so this is the end of the introduction to the course. I'm going to jump for the remaining 5 minutes of my time over to Chapter 1, Creating Customer Relationships and Value Through Marketing, which should be page 20 of the lecture notes, if everything goes smoothly. And this introduces what we're trying to do in marketing. And what we're trying to do in marketing is to create customer relationships and value through our efforts. So Chapter 1, lecture notes page, maybe 21. So what is marketing? What is this thing we call marketing? Well, you are involved in marketing every day, but when you get to the textbook and your authors say to you on maybe page 4, you're a marketing expert. Bullshit. If you're a marketing expert, you come up here and teach a course, I'll learn something from you. So they're exaggerating when they say you engage in marketing every day. Sure you do, you buy stuff. That doesn't make you a marketing expert. Sorry, I disagree with the book. So what is marketing? This is a long definition of marketing. It's the activity, set of institutions, and processes for creating, communicating, delivering, and exchanging offerings that have value for customers, clients, partners, and society at large. That's a pretty big thing when you break it apart, but it is what the American Marketing Association defines marketing to be. So if you went off to their website, you would find the definition. What is marketing? Just as I've given it to you here. Now, as so often happens in the wild, wonderful, wacky world of marketing, people disagree with whatever we do. It's hard to please everybody. And so here we have a bit of controversy from a blogger, business blogger, on this definition.
So marketing is very important at Time Warner Cable Business Desk.
Well, thank you.
It really gives us the ability to go out and collect all the...
I have no idea why he came up. Oh, he's the next slide. Well, I don't want you to be on the next slide. I want you to be here. So a guy by the name of Mike Smock, who's a blogger, says about this definition, look, this is a big mistake. He says marketers can hardly get it right in small enterprises. How are they going to extend that to society at large? The bottom line is CEOs are disgruntled with marketing, and this definition doesn't help. He says the new definition gets away from the fundamentals, like sales, like revenues, like margins, and like market share. Nancy Costa-Lopez, CMO of AMA, says, yeah. We think it's healthy for the profession to have a dialogue and a conversation about this new definition, but 70%, not 100%, of the 1,000 marketers responding to the queries about it said it was an improvement. It's not just about marketing and management, but marketing at higher levels. And that's the point. Bill is a frontline manager, or so he seems to be. And for the frontline manager, they're not worried about mission and organizations and society. They're trying to drive sales at the front line. Where's my entrepreneur? But you have to worry at the front line and what the organization is all about. And if you aren't doing it, somebody has to do it. Somebody has to be concerned with the bigger picture of what marketing is all about. So we don't get an easy definition just by listening to one entity. But this is the one that we use here and in all classrooms around the country.
Marketing is very important at Time Warner Cable Business Fest. It really gives us the ability to go out and collect all the marketing trends, the data, put together incentives, put research and tools around to really drive sales for our organization. How I like to tell my marketing manager, her job is to really ring our phones, to get brand awareness out there and really drive sales so that we're successful.
And so you can see what level he's at, right? He's that frontline guy. He's driving sales. Marketing does do that. But we also have to pay attention to the other things at the higher levels. Thank you very much for your attention. See you on Wednesday. Bye, web students. See you next time.